This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are back here, the second hour. We are watching very closely the SEC president schedule to vote sometime today on you know what, and we'll have it for you as it goes on. Jim is up next in Oklahoma. Hello, Jim. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, this is how you doing?
Jim, we are doing well. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, I'm a retired high school head coach in Oklahoma here, and I thought maybe you'd be interested in a couple things. I was born in 51 in West Virginia a month before Nick Saban, just a few miles away.
Oh, well.
And I've enjoyed the stories about him and all the memories he has and those things that I can relate to. Well, 19 years later, I met Barry Switzer in Norman and changed my major immediately to coaching. I was so impressed, and I've been impressed with both of those guys so much. I love Barry Switzer, and he's such a good man. And he's kept up with me and my career and all those kind of things, too. But now there's a bunch of us old retired coaches living lakeside here at Grand Lake in Oklahoma, and Fisher DeBerry is one of them and some others. And I just want you to know we're all excited about what's happening here. And I know that new rivalries are going to be developed very soon, and old ones like with Missouri and A&M are going to come back, you know, and have some fun times there. But I just want you to know that we're enjoying your show, and a lot of them aren't going to be able to talk to you, or they just want to sit around and have a beer while I do all the talking. But anyway, Boomer Sooner, Paul.
Hey, before you go, Coach, how long did you coach high school?
30 years.
Wow.
And
what a career.
My last 16 was over on U.S. bases in Belgium and in England.
Oh, how interesting. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Barry Switzer, always just people. I don't think younger people appreciate what a legendary figure and his impact and influence. We were talking to Jim Donnan yesterday, who you probably know was his offensive coordinator for many years out there during the heyday. And what an impact Barry Switzer left on football.
Oh, definitely. You know, he told me when I went into the change my major, he said, you know, Jim, you're going to have to dissect a human cadaver to major in coaching. And I go, is that right? And he goes, well, yeah, you know, you're going to have to know all the athletic injuries and everything you're going to have to be able to do, you know, on the football field. And, you know, he was right. You know, a lot of people don't know. That's what, if you major in coaching, those are the kind of things you got to do.
Well, Coach, thank you very much for being here, and you be well, and we hope to talk to you again very soon. Jim is up next in South Carolina. Jim, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. This is Jim, and I've been trying to get in touch with you for about 2.5 years. I've been watching your show since 2014 when you came on.
Well, thank you.
And the one thing that happened about 2.5 years ago is everyone started referring as the SEC, which stands for the Southeastern Conference, ACC, Atlantic Coast Conference. All the conferences in the country start referring to themselves as leagues. And we are, league and conference are not the same thing. I've looked it up on the dictionary. The league we are in is NCAA Division I, and every team in the country falls under that one league. And we break it down. If you think, Paul, back 4.5, 5 years ago, you never used the word league. And the first time I ever heard the word league come out was from Mark Kubiak in February of 2019.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you start paying attention to Mark Kubiak, and your entire Your entire Funkin' Wagner.
After I heard Mark say that, it spread. And now the whole country, announcers from games, coaches, refer to their conference as leagues. Yeah. And we are all in the same conference. Every team in the country is in the same league. There's different leagues, though, Paul, like NCAA Division One, Division Two, Division Three, et cetera. Leagues, which you deal with.
Did I get sent to summer school or something? What's going on here? Hey, thank you for the call. I don't know. I feel like I'm. If I want to call it a league, can I call it a league? I mean, do we really need to argue the definition of? I mean, it is a Southeastern Conference. It's not the Southeastern. It's not the SEL Conference. You cool with that?
Yes.
Okay. Me too. Tony is up next. Tony, good afternoon. Welcome to the Southeastern League. Tony, are you there? It would help if I punch Tony in. It always helps.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Tony, I can
hear
you. Yes, you sound loud. You sound great.
Okay. I was laughing about that last caller. I like to make two points. One is Oklahoma is a perfect fit. I mean, they should have been in the Southeastern Conference 20 years ago. And, you know, I liken them to like Clint Eastwood and for a few dollars more. But on the other hand, Texas. Texas thinks that they're Clint Eastwood in a fistful of dollars. But if they don't win on that gridiron, they're just going to be Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack. And they need to learn. They need to learn that. Because the respect in our league is based on performance, not how much cash you have in your pocket. And they need to learn it fast.
Yeah, I don't know if that summer school class is in session yet, but I'll be more than happy to teach. I've always wanted to go into teaching. I've considered that as my next adventure, and I may just have to go to UT Austin and get a gig. Abe is in California, and you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today, sir?
Abe, we're doing great. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me. So, first of all, Paul, you know, I really appreciate your show, and you know, I wanted to talk to you about kind of like how all this stuff in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma is going to impact those, you know, West Coast and Pac-12 teams, right? You know, real quick, I think you mentioned it a couple days ago, but the reality is most people on the West Coast are checked out of college football, you know, by the time October comes around, right? And, you know, and for years we haven't had a really solid national championship contending team. So, you know, we're just kind of curious, you know, if you can kind of, you know, talk about that. And, you know, honestly, I think Texas and Oklahoma are great fits for the SEC. It seems to make sense, but would really love your perspective on how this will impact the Pac-12. And, you know, are they going to start trying to go find a couple teams, or is it going to be even harder for a Pac-12 team to, you know, be nationally competitive? You know, thanks again. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think we really know the answers to that yet. And, you know, the Pac-12 is challenged. And unless we see some sort of weird marriage between the Big Ten and the Pac-12, I don't think it's going to really progress. I mean, the only thing the Pac-12 has going for it really is the hope of a 12-team playoff. Other than that, it's in a particularly difficult position. Chris is up next in Raleigh. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. Great to have you on.
Yeah, what do you think the best outcome for the ACC is, say, 2-3 years out? And what do you think the worst outcome for the ACC is, 2 or 3 years
out?
Yeah,
I hate to be so obvious, Chris, but the answer is very obvious. It's Notre Dame. Without Notre Dame committing to the SEC in football, I don't think they have many very good options. You know, I'm not impressed with West Virginia as somebody that's going to move the needle in that league, and you understand that. You know,
right.
What do they do for you?
Yeah, it's a tough scenario. Now, shifting a little bit, if and it looked like Texas and Oklahoma, this is going to happen over to the SEC. Do you end up 5-6 years down the road with a smaller pie because all the good teams are left in one conference? You know, you've got to have competition against somebody else. Are you shrinking the country?
Chris, you are. You're 100% correct. I just think the pool, I mean, if you're a five-star player, the pool of schools that you are considering has shrunk. And by the way, I think it was already pretty small. I just think the world of college football just got a lot smaller. And you know, you can do it any way you want, from a class system to any other classification. But I think this is not good news for the middle class.
No, it's not. You know, the NFL can expand by adding a city. You're not going to be able to create a new university and it be competitive. So hey, I appreciate your show. Thank you for always being a good platform for so many people with so many different opinions. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Great to have you on. We are going to take a break. Don't forget, the next hour is when we are watching the SEC presidents very, very closely. John Talty from AL.com will join us then and let us know exactly what is going on tomorrow. A lot of other things will start happening, and we'll let you know about that. Right now, we are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we'll do something we haven't done much since last week. We'll talk to an actual football coach.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
For Dad and Coach, always great to have you on the program. Good afternoon, and how has your summer been?
Yeah, good to see you, Paul. Yeah, we've had a great summer, and just as we all know, it's time to get back at it.
It is, and the season is just around the corner. And I know that coaches are never satisfied, but your program has had such great success. I'm not about to ask you if you can top it. I know you can, but how do you maintain what you've done and then try to find ways to improve it, especially after last season, which nobody wants to think about it anymore, but it was bizarre.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always about really what can we do better. And I think, you know, competitors, that's what it looks like. Obviously for us, we're competing against last year's team and the team before that. And, you know, we really want to be in that conversation of what a top 25 team looks like. That's really going to be tough this year. We got probably our hardest schedule we've had. So we're going to have our work cut out for us, especially with a ton of road games to start with. But we've had a really good summer. You know, we had 12 of our kids decided to stay. You know, those super seniors decided to stay and want to be part of opening this new stadium. So we're excited about what they've done up to this point.
Coach, I happened to be in Birmingham about a month ago for something, and I was able to from the airport, go by and see Protective Stadium. And I don't think I can do justice to it as someone who spent 30-some-odd years in Birmingham, what it meant as a visitor to a city that I feel like is my home, to see that stadium in downtown. You've helped build this stadium. Share with the audience the odyssey and what it's going to mean when that first game finally takes place.
Well, I think, you know, like you, you know, we kind of know what Birmingham's all about and of course the state of Alabama. So we're fans. And I think for us to have grown up, maybe going to Legion Field and, you know, you have all those good memories, and I have great memories, you know, as a high school coach playing in championship games and then what has happened at UAB. But it was time, you know, it was time for Birmingham to do something that we've talked about really since the 90s that for whatever reason couldn't do. And it's really just a great testament of a group of different folks coming together. You know, this was UAB, the city, the county, the BJCC, the state to do this. And it's going to be such a win, obviously, for UAB and to see the home of UAB football up on the signage. But it's in a great location. All that part is getting redone and renovated and updated. And so you got the hotels and the restaurants, and then behind it is even getting renovated. But I don't think people know just really how good it is. I think it's a great size at 45,000 seats. And then to get the Super 7, the high school championships back, you know, as part of the rotation back to Birmingham. Other events that's going to happen. We've got the World Game. So there's so many great uses for this stadium. But to your point, it really is special.
I know you're the football coach and you leave the scheduling to everyone else, but somebody has not done you any favors with this schedule. It's going to take a while before you get to your brand new stadium. I don't want to use the word survival, only the fact that Georgia is included in all that, but how do you hold on until you finally get that first home game in October?
Well, it's funny. I said the one team I didn't want to play besides some of the others was Jacksonville State. So my alma mater's on there. You know, they're probably, you know, they're an FBS team really playing in the FCS. And it's at a neutral site. So that's tough. And some of this obviously was the road games were because the stadium, you know, couldn't be guaranteed to be ready. But Georgia, top four team, you know, North Texas, which is going to be a huge conference game on the road. Then we got Tulane, who we were able to beat a few years ago. So I'm sure they hadn't forgot that. Then this unbelievable Liberty team and so on. So, you know, we're going to see, you know, how good we are. And our kids are excited about it, but we've got to come out of the gates fast.
Coach, I want to talk about these games because you played a number of SEC schools and other schools, and you mentioned Tulane, who you've beaten. But when you play a school like Georgia, and you've done this many times before, and I know coaches don't like to think beyond the first game, which is going to be a midweek game, but how do those games affect your program, and especially your players, knowing that you're going into one of the hallowed stadiums in the country to play one of the top teams?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture. I think there's no doubt that our kids look forward to seeing how they measure up. You know, I think if we were just talking about scheduling, you would say, okay, maybe we find somebody that's maybe a little bit lower, you know, a little lower tier SEC school. But, you know, for us, obviously, we have to look for one payday. I think we've really from our scheduling model that, you know, that we've had since we've been here, it was the big bye game. It was an FCS game. And then two other games come with somebody we felt like we could really compete against. But I think, you know, for us, I can't overdo it. I can't. I think our kids are going to get, you know, they're going to get excited about it. And, you know, you're not going to play in a tougher environment, especially with, you know, hopefully, you know, unlimited seating or full capacity seating, but it will make us better. But it is one thing that our kids love, the challenge as well.
Coach, before you go, and I know this is a story that you talk about, and you're probably done talking about, but I think for some of the people around the country, I don't think they realize what you have had to encounter and endure. You take over a program. You put a really good product on the field, a bowl eligible product, and then the thing gets shut down. And here you are about to enter into a new era with a new stadium. But you're a football coach and a really successful one at every level. But do you ever in quiet moments just think about the journey that you have been on since accepting this position?
Yeah, you know, I think it really now as you look back in hindsight and you know, I think early on it became our city, our community, our school deserves this. And really it just became, we've got something to prove here. And now to kind of be on the other side of that, where we've been able to set some records and get our community involved and then this new stadium, I do look back on it with a lot of pride and feel like we still got work to do. But I'm appreciative to everybody that's been on this journey with us to get us where we are.
Finally, Coach, as I'm sure it's hard to ignore what's happening and what's about to happen this afternoon or tomorrow with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC at some point very soon. It's going to change the calculus a little bit. I'm curious for a program that has been so successful in your space, so what your thoughts are on your neighbors about to become, you know, not only they were already the best league, but now it's something beyond comprehension, and maybe how that affects everyone else in college football.
Well, you know, first I'd talk kind of about the expanded playoffs, which I think are I think a chance is what people are looking for. So I think that's one thing that is great, and that's what we're looking for is a chance a chance to play it maybe in that championship game. And but, you know, the SEC obviously has become the conference everybody wants to be in. We know about the financial implications. Obviously, it's going to be a big deal to see what happens, the trickle-down effect for everybody. And, you know, there's no doubt that TV money and just money that you can put into your program and to your school and to your community is a big deal. So I think, obviously, hats off to those guys for what they're doing. And then the rest of us, you know, that's what we're trying to do is just, you know, what can we do to put the best product out there for our, you know, for our players and our fans. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the fallout from all that.
And finally, as a very successful high school coach, you were one of the best high school coaches around, to deal with what everyone else has been dealing with now for 29 days, the name, image, and likeness. Where are you on where college football is not going, but already we're there? I mean, how does this settle with an old high school coach and someone who played the game at Jacksonville State?
You know, I think for us, I think every coach that's worth his salt and that I know, you know, that got into it for all the right reasons, which is almost all of them that I know, it's, you really care about your kids, and they are your kids. So that was what high school was. It was, you're a member of the community. These are your kids. And so you want everything that they can get. I think the concern for all of us is that we lose the models that have made better people, you know, and better citizens. But we want these kids to have every opportunity. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. And, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen as far as, you know, the far reaching effects of it. But we'll see. But we do want what's best for our kids, and we do want them to have every opportunity to, you know, to have better lives.
Coach Bill Clark of UAB, the season opener around the corner. Always great to have you on. Thank you, Coach. Right. Be well. We will see you soon. And we will come right back. We're 30 minutes away from hopefully some news from the SEC on the progression with Oklahoma and Texas, and more of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is from the new president at, the outgoing president at Florida State. You know, I guess just took out an ad in the paper or in the want ads. He basically said, I don't want Florida State to be left behind. I consider us as part of the ACC, but I also know that we have a marquee name. Clemson has a marquee name. I think there might be people coming after us. I don't know, but we got to be prepared. I don't know how to break this to the president at Florida State, but this is 2021, and to compare yourself to Clemson as far as having a marquee name, I mean, I've got to remember when the last time Florida State did anything. Do you remember?
No.
2014, maybe, when they went to the playoffs? Jameis Winston doesn't live there anymore. Jimbo Fisher, I mean, how many coaches have you guys been through? And besides, I don't mean to be snarky here.
Sure you do.
But you go back about 30 years, and you folks could have been in the SEC, but you didn't want the competition. So what are you trying to say now, President Thrasher? Let's get back to the calls, and Jim is up next in Texas. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. Well, I've been a long-time listener. It's the first time I've called.
Thank you.
But after those two phone calls yesterday from Will and Manuel, I've been trying to get in ever since. I'm retired from the prison system here in Texas, Paul, and I've heard a lot of stupid things. So that makes me an authority on stupid, okay? And that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard yesterday when Will said what he said. The idea that the SEC goes through Austin, come on, man, give me a break. The Big 12 don't even go through Austin. Does Will?
I mean, the state of Texas doesn't go through there, does it? I guess it does. It's the capital.
Well, they got to have, you know, something there. Does those two guys realize that the Big 12 has been in existence for 25 years, 1996? Texas is only, in 25 years, has only won the Big 12 three times. And they're going to come in the SEC? Come on, man. Give me a break.
Well, it's kind of the old adage: if you can't beat them, join them. So yeah, I mean, I think it's great. It makes all the sense in the world.
Well, my doctor went to Texas, and he hasn't spoke to me since the Brockmeyer twins signed with Alabama.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that just upset him.
Well, you know, I think if you wanted to point to one thing, that moment right there was when Texas realized they needed to make a change. When you're talking about the son of a legendary Texas player and Nick Saban comes down there and takes him away, I think at that point,
both of them.
Yeah, maybe it's time we try something else down here.
Well, in closing, Paul, I've been an Alabama fan since 1957. And if this happens with Texas, I now have a reason to pull for LSU. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Mark in Newton, Mass. Is up next. What do you got, Mark?
I'm good, Paul. You know, last time I called in, I said Greg Sankey did a good job. I was talking about how great of a job he did to end COVID. And I just have to, you know, to be able to play through COVID and do it safely and properly, et cetera. But I'm blown away by this guy. He is the best commissioner in the country. And, you know, I was thinking about this. When you study some international relations, right, you talk about the nation state and the competition of nation states and how challenging that is. It was not always, you know, a given that the SEC was going to be the biggest and best conference you know, from an economic, from a non-football perspective, from a non-on-the-field perspective. And Greg Sankey just proved himself today in a very, very, very real way that he is a real player. He's a real, you know, great commissioner. He knows what he's doing. He could very well bring the end of a conference. He could single-handedly demolish another conference. You know, I think a lot of times when you follow politics, there are people you say, this guy really has talent. You know, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, I think Greg Sankey's one of those fellows. You know, I remember one time he was on your show and he made some, you know, joke about some current events. You know, this guy's for real. You know, I'm blown away by what Greg Sankey did. You know, to be able for 6 months to be able to do behind the table negotiate, you know, behind, you know, closed door negotiations in Oklahoma and Texas, and then be able to come up with a come up with an agreement and be able to keep Texas A&M happy. That's, you know, if you ever see Greg Sankey, you know, let him know that I'm his biggest fan. You know, I know people don't usually love commissioners. I don't like Roger Goodell, you know, what he did to Tom Brady, but I love Greg Sankey, and I think he's the best commissioner in the land. So I'm blown away by what he's able to do, and you know, he's going to change the landscape of college athletics. You know, I think the NCAA is worried if the SEC is going to start creating, you know, kind of like a super league. Where's the NCAA? What's the NCAA going to do? Are they going to create their own rules? Are they going to, you know, maybe have a different view of how to enforce NIL? You know, Mark Emmert's worried today. He knows Greg Sankey's for real, and I think the whole country knows that too.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Sean is up next in Florida. Sean, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
I had a couple of thoughts. My first thought would be I'd love to see Dennis Dodd from CBS on your show after what he dropped yesterday on Twitter about the American Conference. Bowlesby was accusing the American Conference of trying to poach all the Big 12 members. So I would love to get down to the nitty-gritty of where Dennis Dodd got that information. I know he got it from Bowlesby, but what he could shed on that story. So if you can get him on the show, that'd be...
Yeah, my question, you know, though, is I saw that story, but has he followed that up with any substance?
No, that's why you need to get him on.
Okay.
Because we need to find out what's going on, because that's a huge story, but... my main point I wanted to make was
okay. By the way, he just did release that story, so I'll update it when we get some more clarification. But Dodd is essentially saying the Big 12 is concerned that the AAC is trying to I mean, I'm just listen. Bowlesby's definitely throwing a lot of rocks. I don't know if any of them are hitting the targets, but that's his prerogative.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting story. And then kind of related to that, you know, with the Big 12 situation, the Big 12 has a grant of rights through 2025. And, you know, I know that's the date that the SEC released in their statement, but I can't imagine, you know, wanting to live with your ex-girlfriend for 4 years. So I can't imagine Texas and Oklahoma
and
are going to want to
prepare people in as we get to the next hour and then tomorrow morning, you're going to see a lot of statements and a lot of legalese, but you know, we know what's going to happen. The question we all have is, when is it going to happen?
Right. Well, my understanding is the exit fee for Texas and Oklahoma is, you know, anywhere, it's usually 2 years of distribution. So anywhere from $80 million, you know, per school. But the GOR, you know, stays with the Big 12, even if they exit. And then that price tag is astronomical compared to, you know, the $80 million figure that's been thrown out there. So I'm just curious how this is going to work, you know, with if they leave before 2025, who's going to foot that bill? Because I've heard a figure, Brett McMurphy mentioned it was over $1 billion. So I'm just curious how that's all going to play out.
These are wealthy schools, but and I know what the numbers are in terms of the impact to the SEC, but that's some pretty serious change right there to be throwing around.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts, you know, moving forward on especially Dennis Dodd. Yeah, if you get him on the show, I think he'd be a great guest.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll check out what he's reporting. Sean, thank you. Appreciate it. We are heading to a break. Next hour Absolutely. Could be very pivotal, and we will keep our eyes on Birmingham and elsewhere. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and Brandon is up next in Georgia. Brandon, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. First-time caller, so thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
I know there's been a lot of talk about expansion, rightfully so. It's almost like we forgot there's a football season right around the corner. But getting to that, I wanted to ask, do you think this is the season that Georgia finally gets over the Alabama hump and Saban loses to a former assistant and we win the SEC?
I think it's the best shot. So, I mean, that's as far as I would go right now. I mean, I would really like to see the Clemson game first. I do like Georgia against Clemson, though, so I'm feeling pretty upbeat on the Dogs.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we kind of have a history of every 5 years or so. We come up, you look back at 2012, 2017, maybe Kirby can do it a little bit early with the recruits he's having. But I just wanted to see if you thought Saban would finally lose to one of his former assistants this year.
I will say I do think it will happen at some point. I'm willing to see the season first. Bond is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Bond.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well.
Good, good, good. I was just really concerned about, well, I'm like an actual diehard Gamecock, but had a more of a question for you about, I guess, possibly like antitrust. If the SEC like was to, you know, were to pretty much like stack it up, be kind of like Sirius versus XM, right? So you've got in that situation, what does the NCAA do? And they have no merits to really stand on as far as actually antitrust, because they're the epitome of it.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like I know anything about antitrust law, but I think this would be a pretty tough hill to climb. First of all, there's going to have to be some action taken before you could prove that, and I think the government would have to be involved, and I don't see the government suing the Southeastern Conference for violations of the Sherman Antitrust Act.
No, I don't either.
Although just, I will say this, I don't mean to sound like an anarchist, but I would never put anything past the federal government, okay?
Well, if you stack every team in what's just like the best conference, obviously,
yeah.
It's kind of antitrust.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to bet you that if you walked in the Oval Office right now and asked President Biden his thoughts on the Oklahoma-Texas situation, I'm not sure he would be conversant in that. So I think
he wouldn't care.
As long as he doesn't call Merrick Garland over at the Justice Department, Garland, I think he's a Harvard guy. I don't think he cares either. So I think we're good down here.
For sure. Go Cox.
You got it. Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting question. I think that case is much more suited for Judge Judy than the Supreme Court. Gary is up next in St. Louis. So hello, Gary.
Hi, Paul. It's a privilege to talk to you, sir, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Paul, I've been a Mizzou fan for a long time. Texas kind of really ruined, in my view, kind of ruined the Big 12. And I think they had a lot to do with the fallback of the Southwestern Conference. They've proved they're not team players. And, Paul, I'm more of an SEC fan than a Big 12 fan or a Mizzou fan. I was just so tickled in 2012 when we went to the SEC, mainly because all my relatives live in SEC country. And people really in Missouri don't get it yet. They really don't get it. I really think Mizzou kind of really doesn't belong in the SEC, even though I love the fact that they are in the SEC. And as soon as people here in Missouri finally get it, that this team's not going to move like the Rams and the Cardinals did. This is, you know, we've been really screwed by the NFL, and Missouri fans haven't really gotten into it yet, and I'm kind of disappointed in that.
But, Gary, I hate to interrupt because it's been such a good call, but we are knocking on the door of this next hour, so we have to get out of the way. We will be right back.